Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. Want to tell everybody, hey, if you're in the area, stop on by. You might get lucky. We had two people right in front of us here at the bar. One of them won $1,500. The other one won over $2,400. So
hello.
Congratulations to – and so that was great. Two nice winners right in front of us. And it, within 20 minutes – of one another, so that
it always pays to come to the Silver Slipper.
That's right. Come on down to the Silver Slipper. It's our triple option feature, and Bob, you go first.
Well, in honor of Charlie Long and UL, the Raging Cajuns, I mean, who knows? Billy Napier might end up back in Lafayette. But do I being on the hot seat? And, you know, Tom Petty and Florida Gators, they play
Don't Back Down.
Don't Back Down. No, they're backing down. The Canes came in there and whipped that ass. You know, Miami Hurricane. I think that was the most impressive win over the weekend when you look at all the games and what occurred. Well, now, I mean.
Because of who you played and what it meant to them and on their turf.
On their turf.
Beat them like
and
that.
And that's why on their turf. That's why I think Billy Napier is in trouble.
Big trouble.
Listen, the fans at Florida, it'd be like, now, LSU fans might leave in the third quarter because they're trying to beat the traffic if the game's well in hand. Well, the Florida fans were leaving in the third quarter because they were getting their ass whooped. The Hurricanes were whooping them, so they were leaving in the third quarter. So I look at, you know, speculation on Billy Napier. He fell to 11 and 15. Not 15 and 11. Or Mike, you know, they have a winning record. 11 and 15 in Gainesville, including, you know, it doesn't matter who you beat, including 2 and 10 against ranked opponents. So he's 2 and 10 against ranked opponents. And Mike and Charlie. He's 1-8 against rivals like Miami, Florida State, Georgia, you know, the world's largest cocktail party. So, again, 1-8 against Miami, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, and Tennessee.
Yow.
So, the Gators lost their sixth consecutive game overall, and they witnessed the end of their 33-game winning streak in home openers, a run that started... You got to go back to Steve Spurrier. When he arrived, Mike, I was still playing in the NFL in 1990. In 1990, you got to go back to the home winning streak to start the season. That didn't happen. Now, Napier this caught my attention also. Billy Napier has the same number of losses at Florida Field in 2+ seasons. Okay, same number of losses at Florida Field in 2+ seasons, which is 5, as Steve Spurrier had in a dozen years. So, now over a decade, 12 years. So, you know, all of a sudden they talk about the swamp. No, the Florida Gators are getting swamped with Billy Napier. No, they ain't no damn home field advantage in the swamp. Now, it was with Steve Spurrier. So, Charlie, I'm not hating. I'm just spewing the facts.
Come
Charlie,
on, Billy.
It's not going to be the SID at Florida under Billy. I'll put it to you that way. Go ahead, Charlie.
No, I hope he comes back to UL, guys. I mean, I like Coach Dez and all, but, I mean, both programs have kind of seen middling success since that kind of breakup, and I would love to see him come back and coach the Raging Cajuns again, but that's a pipe dream. Guys, I'm going with the Astros starting pitching for my triple option because, you know, Bobby, we always talk about we love history. The Astros in 2024 will finish the month of August with the second lowest opponent batting average for an entire month in MLB history, only behind Cleveland from 1968. The Houston Astros starting pitching had an opponent batting average of 185. Cleveland, though, I mean, they got a pretty good separation there. They were 174, but that is incredible history made from basically almost 60 years ago. The Houston Astros starting pitching staff has just been rolling recently. It's funny, the first ballot Hall of Famer Justin Verlander is probably the worst member of the rotation at this point. Spencer Arrighetti, to put a, you know, kind of brighter note on a former Raging Cajun, has been absolutely excellent in August specifically, guys. In five starts, and I'll say five starts for each of these pitchers, he had a 1.95 ERA and 47 strikeouts and 32 innings pitched. He's not just missing bats, he's striking out guys left and right. But also Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown have kind of become a 1-2 ace punch for this team. And both of those guys in August as well, Framber 1.59 ERA, and then Hunter Brown a 1.45 ERA. They had three starting pitchers that went an entire month with a sub-2 ERA. So guys, you know, we're getting closer and closer to October, and as an Astros fan, I'm getting pretty excited because it feels like this team can go some places based off of their pitching. And, you know, the Yusei Kikuchi pickup, I'm glad that I wasn't on the air when it happened. I was on vacation, but because I wasn't a big fan of the package that they gave up for him. He's been awesome as an Astro. Like, he came over from Toronto. He had a basically just sub-5 ERA with the Blue Jays this year. But in six starts with the Astros, the Astros are 6-0 in his starts as well. But he's got a 2.57 ERA. So the Astros tweaked something with him. He's got a 3-0 record in a Houston uniform. And I'm feeling optimistic about this team heading into October pretty soon, guys, because of the starting pitching rotation that they got.
1 month, they have 1 month of the season left.
That's it.
September. So, then you look like, you know, you could be a fan of a team. And you look, you might be a Seattle Mariner fan, but post-All-Star break, what the hell happened? You know, whatever. So, no, you want to peak at the right time, and it seems like that's where the Astros are at right now.
Charlie, I wondered why you was in such a good mood. I thought it might be something else, but this sort of explains it to me.
Well, the Astros were down about 10 games, I believe, back in June, and now they're up 5 games on the Seattle Mariners to kind of highlight that, Bobby. They've just fallen off a cliff. And real quick, because I just love doing this every time we do Triple Option, an update on the Chicago White Sox, who are chasing history, and the wrong side of history, by the way. They lost today to the Orioles 13-3. They are now 31-108. Guys, they've already broken the franchise record for the most losses in a single season, and they're still, as you mentioned, Bobby, a whole month to play.
And you know, everyone must have like, they're not trying to win. The Oakland A's are going to go to Las Vegas. No, Chicago White Sox.
That dim Trump.
You know, South Side, Chicago. The Cubs been playing tough. No, I don't know. They ain't going to catch the Brewers.
No.
The Brewers have the easiest road when you think about that. But they actually playing maybe opportunity for the best record of whenever you host and not just winning a division. But when I look at the White Sox, whether you know what I think of too? Who was the stud, Charlie? Mike, you might remember this. Or who was the stud? He was the outfielder, played football, that was drafted, I want to say, maybe in the first round by the White Sox. White Sox, the black wide receiver. What was his name? Charlie, was Chicago White Sox. Somebody will text it and know that.
We'll get that.
Drafted by the Chicago White Sox. I don't think he's even in Major League Baseball anymore. But this is like pulmonary days and all that.
Guys, I thought this would be a tough game for Boston College as tonight they play Florida State. And I know when you catch a team that got beat physically up front, like what Florida State got beat last week.
Again, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech put it to them. But tonight, Boston College will be out their starting offensive guard Logan Taylor. He played left tackle for University of Virginia, transferred to Boston College. He won't play tonight. And also, would they consider their top defensive back, Cameron Martinez? He won't play tonight against Florida State. You're catching an angry football team now, and now you're down two starters, one on offense, the other one on the defensive side, the football. Pete Thamel is reporting that it's a kind of late scratch for both of them, but, man, that's not good news for Boston College. And Florida State, I would expect, is not going to be in a good mood tonight after the way they got not only beat, they got beat up by Georgia Tech last week.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.